conference is called Deeply Rooted, March 14th through the 15th, and it is in Midlothian. You'll need to register, and it's $40 a person. So if you're interested in going, there's a QR code on these and a number and stuff. So if you're interested, that's a good thing to go to if you can.
Thank you. Did a good job. And your voice held up. That's great. That's great. Well, hallelujah. We got a great testimony this morning. How many of you know God loves to bless his people? Yes. Well, how many of you know that Gigi Cole is a special person to this church? Amen. Yes. We love her, and she loves these children. And I'm telling you, we need her on this bus route. So we know she needed transportation. And by an anonymous giver, and the church helping some, she got a car this morning. Come on, Gigi. Come on, Gigi. Yeah. Hallelujah to God. Woohoo!
Amen. Here is the title. And you're going to get aid and assistance on getting it titled and tagged. All right? Praise the Lord. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord shall provide. Amen. She thanks everybody that was involved.
And there were several involved, believe me. The one selling it gave a great deal, and just several involved. And you know who got the glory? Woohoo! I love you guys. Stand with us, and let's worship the Lord. I have a few more receipts to give out, and if I see, I'm gonna hand it to you while praise and worship's going on.
Amen. Just want to give you some updates. They just texted me a few minutes ago. They're taking Stella to the hospital. She needs a touch. She needs to be healed in her body. She has a little bit of serious thing going on there. Also, Israel's not with us this morning. He had an appendectomy. He told me, he said, Pastor, he said, I wrestled with this thing all Friday, and I came home early and all that night. And so he got up Saturday morning, and they did an appendectomy on him yesterday. And so pray for Israel. You know he'd rather be here than anywhere else. And so we send out our love and prayers to all of them. Amen. And lots of others need a touch today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's pray over them. Father, in Jesus' name right now, you're the God that created us. You made us, Lord. You're the one, Jesus, that bore our sin in your own body on that tree. Lord, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. Lord Jesus, by your stripes, you said that we are healed. Lord, I'm asking right now, God, according to your covenant promise, that you will reach forth your hand, Lord, to Israel and Stella and, Father, others today. We curse that sickness in Jesus' name. We ask you to strengthen them, Father God, and Lord, just make them completely whole, better than before. Father, we just thank you for touching them. Meet every need today. Touch every life, Lord, whatever the need may be. Father, and we give you thanks for it and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen. Come on, give him a big praise.
Amen. This is the year of testimonies. Leslie, come down. We've got another testimony. We are not letting anything go that God does. We are giving him glory and honor for everything he does this year. I'm determined. We're not looking it over because, Father, you're so good to us. Tell us about Angie, your sister.
My sister Angie had stage 4 uterine cancer, and it had metastasized to her liver and several other spots. And of course, they've been doing chemo and everything else, but she finished that and she had her PET scan done, and she is completely cancer-free. The doctors were amazed that she was cancer-free. They said they just didn't believe it because with stage 4, they didn't think it would happen. And I also want to let you know you've been praying for my brother David. He had cancer of his pancreas, and it had spread throughout his entire body. They give him less than 3 months to live. That was in August. He is now doing great. His blood work is wonderful. He went back to work this last week, and I believe the Lord's totally healing him.
That is so good. Thank you. Whew. I'm telling you. Whew. Now, if we can't worship after that, but God, we're here to thank you, thank you, thank you, as Gomer Pyle would say.
They just both wanted me to tell this church thank you for praying for them because they know it was the prayers from this church that helped.
That's amen. I tell you what, we'll take that reputation. Amen. We'll take it. Hallelujah of Jesus.
Did you come expecting this morning? Amen. Are you ready for a move of God in this place today? He is moving, that's for sure. He is always moving, and He's always benefiting us with His good things. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, for your healing throughout this congregation. The ones that are going through it, we thank you, Lord, for good reports, God. As they go through those things in Jesus' name. Amen. We've come for a move of God. We've come for the Holy One. All we want, all we hunger.
Holy roar, reaching for heaven.
place. God, we raise, God, we raise. We are here to lift you up, here to sing a song of love, here to give you, God, what you are. Breathing fresh air this morning. Fresh new move of God. Fresh things are happening in our nation. Fresh things are coming forward by the Spirit of God. There's a breathing of the Spirit of God. Breathe on us, Holy Spirit. Breathe on us this morning. We need your breath. We need your life-giving breath, O Lord, to consume us. In Jesus' name.
His body, the bridge.
name above all names. Blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel. Above every
heaven looked away, the Son of God was laid.
death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the stone was thrown away. His perfect love cannot be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Your victory.
Yes, Lord.
Your victory was our victory. Oh, your victory was our victory. We bless you, Lord. We
bless
you,
Lord.
Amen. I saw one little one in the floor. She just worshiped her heart out. That's good. That's great. Oh, you may be seated. God bless you. I will get every statement out. I should have it all done by Wednesday, so everybody will get theirs. And I thank you. I tried to personally thank each one I've handed you to, but just because you didn't get one this morning doesn't mean it's coming. And we certainly do thank you. I believe in tithing. I believe in it. I know there's a lot of teachings. There's so many teachings out there now. My goodness, be careful how you hear. So many don't believe in it, don't think you should. Well, hey, even if you don't think you should, can I ask you this? What will it hurt if you give 10% to God? It's going to break greed off of you. And you're going to be blessed. And I'm going to tell you one thing. This lady that received this card this morning, she's a tither. She's a tither. And I know that's why she got it. I just know. And God will take care of your needs. Amen. Will everybody be a billionaire? Will everybody be a millionaire? No. But do I think there should be more in the body of Christ? I absolutely do. I know when I pulled up our giving record for this year, I won't tell you what it was, but I was kind of blown away because I knew we didn't make that much. But we were determined to just give, give, give. And when I pulled it up, I was just so happy. Because I'm like, man, God, what are you going to do this year? I don't know. So, but I was happy. But what I'm saying is, we don't tell you to do something that we don't do ourselves. Amen. So, ushers, will you come? Amen. Thank you so much, every one of you. And if you don't have the revelation on it, I pray you get it. Maybe we need, I think we need Kenneth and Marlene to teach a good series on tithing. I think y'all, we ordain you to do that in this church because he's got some revelation on it. You can do it. I know you can. This couple knows. And yes, they're tithers, believe me. All righty. But anyhow, enough of that. I just hope you know we love you. I don't hold anything against you. If you give $15, great. I had made someone's contribution, and I put an extra O in it, and they had given like $43,400. And I went, well, I pray they will next year. But I had to take the zero off. But anyway, you that ever got that, when you'll know I had to take your zero off. But I prayed God bless that person that they could do that. Amen. Why not? Yes. You know, I pray next year what we gave above and beyond, I pray next year you make that somehow. Why not? Then you can just give more and more. That's the goal, isn't it? I want it to be where God just stop. Please just stop, stop, stop. We don't know what to do with it. Stop. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Why people fight? Why people fight God's blessings, I'll never know. How are we going to get the kingdom out? You know, light bills have gone up. You know, ours have gone up here to like $1,000 a month. I mean, that's not cheap. We used to pay half that here. But, you know, something about that's got to change, too, for this whole county. Because you know we're being taken, and we know it. And a lot is being exposed, and I'm saying expose it on. And if it has to be exposed in the church records, let it be exposed. It's got to start and come on down. That's right. Because we all got to be accountable. We have to be accountable. Amen. But anyway, we love you, and I know you know that. Thank you all. God bless these that are receiving. I pray, God, that are receiving the offering. And God bless those. Bless those that, Lord, they would just get that revelation on tithing. And, oh, God, it would change their life. That's why I want it so bad, God. I want them to see what you can do, and I want them to prove you. I want you to be proven to them so they'll say, I cannot believe a God over this universe can take care of me like this when I give this much away. But, oh, he can. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, all right, thank you. Thank you again.
Let's stand one more time. Turn to the book of Joshua, chapter number 6. Joshua, chapter number 6. And just want to put another heads up. I want to remind you of the men's conference, guys. We want all the men, all our sons to be present, raising young lions. And what a day that we live in. We need to mark them for Jesus, get the blood of Jesus all over them, and those that are backslid need to come back home in the name of the Lord. And so if you've never heard Lance Johnson, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be blessed. And I know we've had him in this house a couple of times before, but Lance does a lot of extensive traveling. He's got revival. Revival in Kentucky is burning with the glory of God. It's been going for several years now, and he's every night preaching in churches throughout Kentucky, you know, where God is moving, and pastoring a church. Pray for those meetings, guys. We're looking for God to do something great, and I want you to be here. Amen. Want you to be here. Joshua chapter number 6, Joshua 6, and the Bible says, verse 3, "And you shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him." Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you today for your word, and we ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus to come and touch our hearts and our minds. We ask you today for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Holy Spirit, we say we so desperately need your touch today. Touch every heart. Touch every life. God calls faith to rise. Lord, we just say right now walls are going to fall down. Lord, we believe that today, that God, that those walls are just bridges to get us into where we need to be. Holy Spirit, work your work. Have your way today. We depend upon you, and all you do, we give you thanks for. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and everybody said amen. You may be seated this morning. Shout for God. Let me hear you give a good shout. Come on. Yeah. Shout again. See, the Bible says shout unto God with a voice of and with a voice of praise. Amen. It's always good to give a good shout. You feel better after you do that. You feel better. Amen. And so if we go to the book of Joshua, we find out that Moses has died, how this great man of God, and Joshua is now in command. And God promises to Joshua, everywhere that the sole of your feet will tread, I am giving it unto you and to my people. And then him defines the borders of the children of Israel because they're getting ready to go and to possess the promised land. God commands Joshua these words. He said, be strong and of a good courage. Those words are so important, and I believe today that as the church that we are on the brink of something great, somewhere we've never been before. I know that lots of people probably think that God's finished, God will never move in America, but on the contrary, I believe that things are ripe for God to move in America like we've never seen him move before. And so it's important for us to be strong right now and of a good courage. Look at your neighbor and say, be strong and of a good courage. Keep God's word. Amen. So God tells him to get ready because within 3 days, he's speaking to the people, 3 days, you're going to take this people across the Jordan into Jericho. You're going to go begin to possess the thing, the land that God has promised to you. And in Joshua chapter 2, the Bible tells us that Joshua sends 2 spies. You know, I've always been intrigued by that because, you know, you get burnt when you send 12 spies. And I understand that He was one of the two that came back. He and Caleb did. They came with a good report. And then the 10 had an evil report, and it cost them 40 years in the wilderness. Everybody remembers that story, how that God judged them because of their unbelief, except for Joshua and Caleb. And so Joshua, he's a smart guy. He says, well, I'm going to send two. And so he sends two spies in, and they go to spy out Jericho, and they look at the land. And so as they go in, the men of the city recognize that someone has come in. And so they begin to try to find them, and we know the story how that Rahab the harlot takes them and she hides them. And because of that, her house is delivered, and she is commanded to take a scarlet thread and hang it out the window so that when the Israelites come in that they will go to her house and take her to safety. And so because of her act of faith, she's spared. Somebody say, because of her act of faith, she's spared. And this is what she says to them. She tells them these words, and man, I love this. I love what she says here. She says, we've heard about your God. Oh, y'all didn't get that. We've heard about your God. Man, I think some Christians need to hear about their God. Amen. I think sometimes that we need to hear about our God. But the world, she's talking here. We've heard about your God, how that he parted the Red Sea and what he did to the Egyptian army and what he did to Pharaoh and how he took care of you through the wilderness and all the mighty miracles that he did and all these things that your God did. And our hearts melted because of you. Look out, devil. The church is coming. I said the church is coming. The true church. The remnant, come on. Are you part of the remnant? Part of the remnant. Listen. So the spies returned with a good report. I like this. You know, the scripture didn't really say that, but they did return with a good report. And in Joshua chapter number 3, Joshua begins to prepare the people to cross the Jordan. And the officers pass through the people, and they begin to tell them, you know, that when they see the Ark of the Covenant, of the presence of the Lord of all the earth. When they see that, the Levites, them leading the way, the priests and the Levites carrying the ark, that they are to follow after them. And I think that this is so important that we understand that's a good truth for us, is that we follow the presence of God. Amen? Somebody say, follow the Holy Ghost. Follow the Holy Ghost. It's like I said last week, remember, beware of churches that seek after methodology and not the Holy Spirit. And make God AI. Hello, somebody. He says, keep a distance so that you can see where the ark is going, where the presence is going, because you have not passed this way before. And I think that is so important. There's so much stuff out there right now, especially, and I think that Christians need to beware of just going on the internet and eating anything that's out there. Some people live on every little, oh, it's this and that, and they said this, and they said that. Well, listen, God's not dumb, and he's not confused. Amen. I said, and he's going to speak according to his word. Somebody say amen, not something crazy. Come on, something crazy. We need to follow the Holy Spirit. He said, stay back at a distance so that you can tell where he's going to, because you have not passed this way before. And so the priests that bear the ark, they are to come to the brink of the Jordan. And the scripture tells us that is during harvest time. And at harvest time, the Jordan is always overflowing its banks. And when these priests step into the brink of the water, something miraculous happens. And so the water comes to attention. And the people pass right over, and they go into Jericho. And in Jericho chapter 4, after they've crossed the Jordan, and we're going to come back and visit this in a meeting, the Bible says that Joshua chose 12 men, one from every tribe, and they were to go and gather up 12 stones, and they were to build a memorial there so that in the future when their children saw those stones, that they could tell them, tell their children and be reminded, this is where God dried the Jordan up, worked this miracle for the people of God to come into their inheritance. Everybody say, shout for God. Shout for God. So most of us have heard this story at one time of our lives, whether it's been in a VBS or a Sunday school, or you've heard the song, how Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. So maybe you've sung that. I don't know, maybe you sung it at a wall in your life. You said, you got to remember Joshua fought that battle. And I want you to know, if Joshua fought it, I can fight it. And wall, you are coming down in Jesus' name. It's a story that challenges us and charges our faith. It elicits faith, you know, from us. And one which opens our eyes to the involvement of God into the affairs of man. It's good to know that God will get you where he told you that you would go. All you have to do is follow the presence. All you have to do is follow the Spirit. He'll get you to where you need to be. Somebody say amen. Follow his presence. Follow his presence. And so there's, I hope that we can get to all of them, is the number one, that we have a covenant with God. Everybody say we have a covenant. Secondly, is obedience to his word brings victory. And then thirdly, the walls before us will only serve as bridges to our success. All right? So God made a covenant with a man by the name of Abraham in Genesis chapter number 12, years prior to this day. And this is important for you to know, that when God gives you a promise or he comes and covenants something with you and has something for you to do, it may be years before you see it come to pass. But I want you to know, God never forgets the word. Doesn't matter what it looks like, what man may say. It doesn't even matter, you know, what you may feel inside. If God said it, it will come to pass. I think it's important. You know, Paul told young Timothy, war with that prophetic word that's given unto you. That when the walls stand tall and the demons are defiant, that you have a promise from God and you can look into your circumstances and you can laugh at them, because you know that everything pales in the presence of the living God that you serve. In Genesis chapter 23, verse number 27, the scripture says this. God says, I will send my fear before you, and I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come, and I will make all your enemies to turn their backs to you. Man, I love this. I will cause confusion. I will crush. I will break. I will discomfort your enemies for you. Come on, somebody. And they'll turn their backs and tuck their tails and run. Man, I like that. So what we read in Joshua chapter 4 and 5 and 6 is so powerful, because it's a type of deliverance. It's a type of God bringing us into his promises and sending our adversaries running in Jesus' name. In Joshua chapter 5 verse 1, the scripture says, and it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan. Now keep in mind, they came up to the Jordan, the priest have stepped in the Jordan, and that Jordan comes to attention, and the waters dry up. And the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. Man, I don't know about you, but I would like to see the church come to that place in America and around this globe. I believe that we can have that kind of reputation, not because of ourselves, but because of our God. And I believe it should be that way, that when we come into a prayer meeting, or when we are talking to our God or reading his word and walking with him, that we should get ourselves in that place where hell fears the God that is in us. That wherever we go and whatever that we do, wherever the sole of our feet tread, that the devil has to back up in Jesus' name, because he knows that we mean business. You know, if we're going to pray, we should at least believe for the benefit of it. If we're going to talk to God, we should at least act like we know him. Amen. Somebody say, he's alive inside of me right now, right now. My adversary knows Jesus is in me. The adversary knows that Jesus is on the inside of you. Do you know that Jesus is alive on the inside of you? And so there was no more spirit left in them because of the children of Israel. Their fight left them. Wow. My God. See, faith rises in our hearts from the words of God. Think about what's going on here. And this is what the Bible said. When they heard. Oh, God. When they heard. When the Amorites and the Canaanites heard. Now, Amorites mean a sayer. That's what the word Amorites means. So they're a type of those who said something. You're a nothing. You're a nobody. Your family has never accomplished anything. Who do you think that you are? That you are going to do something great for God. You're not smart enough. You're not educated enough. You don't, nobody loves you. God doesn't care anything about you. Come on now. God could never use anybody like you. You're nothing more than a failure. See, this is what the Amorites do. They come and try to convince you that you're just a lowlife and a nobody. Even though you're born again and had your sins washed away, there are many people in the body of Christ that struggle from day to day and believe that they're unworthy, that they're nothing, that God doesn't care for them or love them. Come on now. They're depressed and deprived. They're in that frame of mind. When the Amorites heard, I love this, that's your enemy. See, something shifted. Because instead of Israel believing that they were nothing, now the enemy is believing he is nothing. When the Amorites heard, and when they heard, then the Canaanites. When the Canaanites heard, this word Canaanites means to bring down. They're those who hold you under. How many have ever felt like that you've been held under by a devil? Held back by a devil. Under guilt and shame. Under the addiction of alcohol and drugs and immoral lifestyles. Rejection, insecurity, inferiority. Held under the bondage of death's ways. Under fear. A lot of people are held under. They feel like they're suffocating. Whether, it, you know, a lot of people are held under by the pill. By the powder. They're held under by all the text messages that they receive. They're held under, you know, by all the things that the enemy brings against their life. And there are people in church, they're under the gun of pornography. They're under and suffocating inferiority complexes. I can't do this. I can never rise out of this. But right here, the tide changed. Somebody say, it changed. Instead of the enemy holding them under, all of a sudden now Israel has risen up and put his foot on top of the enemy. Somebody say, amen. Look at somebody this morning and say, something is about to turn for you, my friend. Something is about to turn around. You see, when they heard, my God, and I love this, when they heard how God had delivered his people. Mm-hmm. How many have been delivered from drugs? How many have been delivered from some immoral thing? How many have been delivered from rejection and insecurity? How many have been delivered from the power of sin and death in your life? Come on. You've been delivered and you know that you've been delivered. You see, when the enemy hears that you've been delivered and you know that you've been delivered, something shifts in your life. All of a sudden, everybody that looked at you and said things about you that said, oh, it's not going to last long. Oh, Mike Newman, he's not going to last. You know, it's not going to last. I give him 6 months. How long has it been? How many? Say that out loud. 33 years. Wow. And they said he wouldn't last. See, the devil told me the same thing, and I'm not going to tell you how long. It's more than 33. And you're sitting here this morning because your God is for you and not against you. Amen. Mm-hmm. When they heard, and Joshua said their hearts melted. I love this. My God, I can think about old Mike Newman. I remember when he became born again. Had that old red Chevrolet convertible. Thought he was something. Amen. Amen. Wrecked that old convertible, about killed himself. Laying down in the hospital, and they said, somebody asked me, said, have you been to see him? I said, no. I said, has he repented yet? They said, nope. I said, well, he will. And old Mike gave his heart to Jesus. I remember one Sunday night I was up preaching, and he was sitting in the back there, and I was preaching, and I looked back there, and I said, some people think they're big old VIP sinners. I said, but if you think you're the only one here that needs Jesus, I said, you're crazy. I said, there's some other people here that need Jesus. Amen. Yeah, 33 years ago, Mike gave his heart to Jesus. Somebody say praise God. Amen. Man, don't you love it? Don't you love it? And you're sitting here this morning, you say, I can't believe I've lasted this long. My God, you go look in the mirror and you see yourself and say, I can't believe you're still alive. Amen. So as Joshua was preparing to enter the promised land, this is the report that the enemy was sending up. Our hearts are melted. Man, we have no more spirit. Our fight has left us. We know what your gods did for you. You know, we figured that you, it was done and it was over for you. We knew how you had wandered around in the wilderness and all this kind of stuff. And we heard about judgments and your displeasure of God. But some way, somehow, you made it here, right here where you're at today. And I look back and I see that generation that their parents died because of unbelief. And you think about this, because there those children were left parentless, and they grew up and they had to look at the reproach and the shame that they had to endure because of unbelief and doubt. But even working their way through all the rejection and the insecurities, they learned that God was for them and not against them. They learned that God would fight their battles. They learned that if they would stand, God would stand. They learned that if they would stand on the word, that God would honor it in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. And so now here they are all these years later, and Joshua is preparing to enter the promised land, and he makes sure that everybody's in covenant. Because covenant is important. He understands the power of a covenant. In Psalm 89, verse number 34, God says these words, my covenant will I not break, neither will I alter the words that proceed out of my lips. And so Joshua chapter 5, when all the men had been circumcised and brought into covenant because of all the children that had been born during that time that needed to be circumcised and brought into covenant, it was important. Somebody say that's important. Remember when David looked at Goliath, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this guy? He's not a covenant man. See, if you don't have a covenant, you're in trouble. If you've got a covenant, you got it made. Somebody say, amen. In Joshua chapter 5, verse 9, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day, because of this covenant, because the people were circumcised, this day, everybody say, this day, I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt, which is a type of sin, from you and from off of you. Wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal, which means rolling away. God rolled it away. Somebody say, he rolled it away. He rolled it away. This was symbolic of cutting away of the flesh, because we can never get done in the spirit. We can never get done in the spirit anything trying to do it in the flesh. Somebody say, amen. So this was to prepare them to go places that they'd never been. That's a great thing about being born again. When you become born again, God is carrying you places that you've never been. You're going to do things you've never done. You'll look back years later and you're going to say, I can't believe that God did that with me. You may have a sixth grade education and have a doctor's degree hanging on your wall. You sit there and you think, how did I get that? Come on. You may have been the least in your family and never done anything great before, and now God is doing something great with you because of covenant. Somebody say, because of covenant. And so it was to prepare them so that they would be able to fight their battles and to possess the land that was before them that God had promised to Abraham. See, that covenant is important because God promised to Abraham, I'm going to give to you and to your descendants this land. And when I get ready to give it, no devil is going to be standing in the way. No man is going to be able to stop me. When I make my decision to make my move and my people have done what they're supposed to do, I'm coming and stepping on the devil, and I'm going to move everything and shift everything out of the way, whatever that it might be. and I'm going to bring you into the promise. Somebody say amen. See, this obedience to this covenant is something that had to be in their heart. Say, if you are willing, you shall eat the good of the land. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. See, the way that we receive the benefits of a covenant are through faith and obedience. So this set them apart to God. See, when you get in covenant and you are set apart for God, you get hooked up to God. Think about covenant. Everything that is his now belongs to me. And everything that's mine now belongs to him. And I didn't have a whole lot to give him. I'm going to tell you right now, probably nothing. But he gave me everything. Jesus took my sicknesses and my diseases and bore my sin. What did I give him? All that. What did he give me? Life. And life abundantly. And blessing. Somebody say amen. See, we become priests and kings unto our God, Revelation chapter 1, verse 8 says, because of covenant. Somebody say, covenant relationship. See, your battle with sin, and my battle with sin, cannot be won apart from the covenant blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When I enter that blood covenant of Jesus, sin along with its power is destroyed out of my life. The chains of bondage break. Come on, somebody. The yokes are destroyed. The burden is lifted. Every addiction has to give way because of the blood of Jesus that washes over my life. It breaks. All those things break at the moment that the power of the blood of Jesus washes me and cleanses me. Somebody say covenant blood. Covenant blood. So what happens next in Israel's conquest to possess the land is powerful. Now listen. So the priest and the Levites, we're going back to the story. Now listen to this. They take the Ark of the Covenant. They step in the brim of that Jordan. And the Bible said, as the rivers were overflowing their banks, because you can't cross it by natural means. It's flowing and they're standing there. It takes an act of God to get across that river. How many of us have came up to rivers in our life and we've looked at those rivers and say, there's no way that I can pass the river. There's no way that I can get over it. But if I have a covenant with God, I know that God's going to do something. What's he going to do? He's going to part the water for me. And as soon as the priest's feet were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, touched the Jordan, a miracle happens. You see, God said these words. He said, and I will cut off the waters of Jordan like I'll cut off a water spigot. And they're going to stand up on a heap. And I love this because when the holy feet of those priests touched the water that God had chosen to carry that Ark of the Covenant, that water recognized who God was. And that water stood up to attention. And what did it do? The Bible said that it backed up all the way to the city of Adam, which is 15 miles away. Now, there's a great symbology here that I want to get across to you this morning, because when you were born again, do you realize that God backed your sin all the way back up to Adam? Come on. That sin in the garden, he forgave you. Come on now. What a powerful act of God. The Bible said the waters stood up on a heap, literally to attention. Whatever rivers, whatever waters, and I like what Isaiah said, the rivers are not going to overflow you. The waters are not going to overtake you, because I, the Lord your God, are with you. Wherever that you go, I'm going to see to it that nothing in life takes you out. You know why? Because I carry the presence of God. It's not in the box anymore. It's inside of me. Oh, you're not getting this. See, they were carrying God in the box. They stepped in the waters, had God in the box. The waters recognized that God was in the box. And when that water sensed the presence of God, the water backed up 15 miles. Are you listening? Come on. So what happened? God moved out of the box when Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood and was resurrected from the grave on the third day. And now he's ascended to heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father. And because of that, I am the box. Put your hand on yourself and say, I am the box. Everywhere the sole of my feet shall tread, God has given it to me. I've got news for the devil this morning. You may be able to get some stuff on me, but you're not going to get anything over on the God that is on the inside of me. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Say, he lives inside of me. the creator of the universe. That's why you can lay hands on the sick and the blind can see and the deaf can hear and the lame can walk and God can work creative miracles. Come on now. That's why God can run into a neighborhood that's infested with pornography and immorality and drugs of every kind and set people free at the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why. It's because it's God in you, the hope of glory. The world is hungering, looking for you to come on the scene right now. And all you got to do is cross the Jordan. Come on. What obstacle is it that's keeping you from doing what God wants you to do in life? Oh, I'm going to wait. The time's got to be right. If God speaks to me, I'm going to do it. Listen, Jesus will come and the rapture will take place and you'll be sailing through the sky and you're going to say, I wish I'd done that. Look at somebody and say, what you do, you must do quickly. And say, do it while it's day. The night's coming when no man can work. Come on, somebody. See, right now's the time to pull it all out. We have a space. God has given America a reprieve. We have a president that is favorable toward Christianity. I said this last week. We are in a position right now, even though hell may be raging and may be furious, that we know that our God is for us. He has heard our prayer. And we're going to step up and say, wherever the sole of my feet tread, my God is going to give it to me. We have walked around Stewart. We have walked down the sidewalks. We have been to the mountain and blew the shofar. We have prayed and fasted. And I want to say, this is God's land in the name of Jesus. Patrick County, Virginia belongs to God, and he's going to pour out his spirit upon it the way that he chooses and the way that he wants to. Come on. And he's going to introduce Patrick County to supernatural signs and wonders. The blind will see, the lame will walk, the dumb will talk. Come on, demons will come out screaming out of people. Come on, somebody, creative miracles. Because God is out of the box and he's in us. Know ye not that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God dwells in you, whose temple that you are? You belong to him. Somebody say, I belong to him. My covenant with God is important. Somebody say, it is important. And so when we look at this story, we begin to understand God is in me. I look at you and God is in you. I look at our nation, I see the trouble, and I say it's ripe. I look at Patrick County, Virginia, which is overshadowed by a religious spirit, and I say, watch God run this thing out. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I want to see him flex his muscle and the LGBTQ get set free in Jesus' name. I want to see God flex his muscle, come on, and the DEI be flushed down the tube. I want to see God flex his muscle. Are you listening to me this morning? And every apparatus and work of the devil be dismantled through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Come on, somebody. See, I believe that if we will realize that he lives in us, we have a covenant with him. You know, we took communion this morning back in the room with the leaders. And we do it every Sunday. We say, we remember what you did. You destroyed sin. You destroyed him who has the power of death, that is to say, the devil. By your own blood, you brought us into covenant with our Father. This do in remembrance of me. We examine ourselves so that we can make ourselves ready for what God wants to do. Somebody say amen. Wow. Listen, when Jesus died, he backed it all the way up. And they stood on dry ground and they walked across that Jordan. 3 to 4 million Israelites. Why is covenant so important? Because it is the strongest bond between man and God. God and man. Especially this covenant through Christ Jesus. See, the moment that God comes into your life, all of heaven knows it. Those around you see it. You cannot hide it. I said, if you're born again, if you just got saved, if you received Jesus today, you're not going to be able to hide it. You're not going to be able to hide it. Everybody's going to know it. The underworld will know it. Because when you come to Jesus, your sins are washed away, you're delivered from the powers of darkness, and you're translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. I love this. Hallelujah. In the light of time. In Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 to 15, says that they came up right beside Jericho when they crossed the Jordan. They came into the land. Joshua was by Jericho, and he lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and a man was opposite from him holding a sword. Now, that would get anybody's attention. I think if you walked into your living room and some dude standing there with a sword drawn, you scream and run. Come on. Amen. I know if I was over here in the sanctuary praying and I opened my eyes and some big old guy standing over there with a sword drawn, I'd probably pass out. Amen. I wouldn't even ask who are you. I'd go, yeah, yeah. I'd fall out under the power. Somebody say amen. But here's Mr. Joshua. And Joshua says to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? I want to find out if somebody's infiltrated my camp here. Are you an enemy? Have you sneaked over here? Snuck into the midst of us? Who are you? He said, what are you doing here? He said, are you our adversary? And I love this. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Listen to this. I'm not your adversary, but I tell you who I am. I am commander of the army of the Lord of hosts. That's who I am. Man, I love this because the moment that that angel or that Christophany, when the moment that that man spoke to Joshua, the Bible said that Joshua fell down on his face and worshiped. And so he says, what do you want me to do, my Lord? What do you want me to do? What is it? What is it? What do you want your servant to do, God? What is it? And he said, first of all, take your sandals off your feet. Because the place whereon you're standing is holy ground. And Joshua took his shoes off. Somebody say he took his shoes off, like Moses out in the wilderness. Come on, somebody. Anything that was going to defile, anything that would separate him from God, get rid of it. Your walk has to be holy. God is sanctifying his walk. Secondly, obedience to God's word brings victory. Joshua probably had looked at those walls of Jericho and thought to himself, I never seen nothing like that, dude. They're massive. They're big. Matter of fact, history tells us that chariots could run around the top of them, or they could hold chariot races on them, and they could run abreast with each other across and around the top of that wall. They were this fortress of Jericho was impenetrable. It was like a mighty fortress when Joshua stood there and was looking at this place. It was an human impossibility when it came to man. Jericho was straightly shut up, the Bible said. In chapter 6, verse number 1, Jericho was straightly shut up because of, listen, straightly shut up because of, everybody say because of. Because of is important. Because of the children of Israel. Now, I want you to get this picture because it's kind of crazy. You got this massive fortress. All these soldiers that are well trained. You've got gates of steel, an impenetrable fortress. And now they've got it shut up straight because a bunch of farmers have come. You are missing this. People with a promise are dangerous. People with a promise know something. Come on now. Listen to this. The Bible said it was so shut up that no man went out and no man came in, because you know why? They were so terrified. They had heard all the stuff that God had did. They already knew, man, whoever, oh, he backed that Jordan up 15 miles. Who are we? How are we going to stand against this God? Can't you hear the demonic world in America saying, how are we going to stand up against the church's God? Come on, we need to find that God again. We need to find the God that hell fears. Come on. We need to find the God that men tremble at. Come on. We need to find the God that is so holy that people melt in his presence. boy, it sure is different from the church as we look at it today, because there's so many, well, he's my buddy, he's the man upstairs, and you know, this and that. No, he's holy, my friend. He is holy, holy, holy. He is God Almighty, omnipotent. And you know why we're powerless in the church? Is because we have no respect for that holy God and who he is. I want to tell you, any God that can cause a nation like Jericho, that fortress, to be inside fearing and trembling, and the Amorites and the Jebusites and all the Canaanite nations to fear and tremble because of the reputation of God, I'm saying we've got to have that in the church. We have to have it. We must have this in the church. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given it to you. They're so nervous they won't even come out of their house. Wow. I love this. Just look at them. They're shaking and trembling in fear. I've given it to you. I've given you its king. And I've given you all the mighty men of valor that are on the inside. I'm doing this for you, Joshua. I'm doing this for you, Israel. I'm doing it for you. See, Jericho was one of the most significant cities on earth. First mentioned in Numbers 22 and 11. It was well fortified. And I love this. Isn't it just like God to stop at the cream, start at the cream of the crop? God steps up and goes, I love it. No, how about, wow. The walls were massive. And so what was God's strategy? What's Joshua going to do? And so Joshua's here, this great general. He said, okay, God. What are we going to use? Harbingers and catapults and spears and all kinds of weaponry. And God says, no, I'll give you three things to use. What are they, God? Waiting, walking, and no talking. And a shout. What? Let me run this by you again, God. this fortress over here... How are we going to do this thing? Waiting, walking, no talking, and a shout. Don't you just love God? Reminds me of Moses on the back said, God, who am I? And so here Joshua is. He's kind of the same way. He's like, I don't understand. And then God says, take seven priests with seven trumpets of jubilee to blow them. Armed men before the ark of the covenant is to follow. You put a rear guard behind. And then the people will go as well. This is to be done for 6 days. You'll compass the city one time each day. Seven, on the seventh day, you'll compass the city six times. And then the seventh time you compass the city, the people will shout. Shout. You shall shout. Man, you think about how hard it was for them to keep silent. They probably had a shout pinned up. It was unbelievable. They probably like, by God, when I go get to talk, I'm blasting the devil's ears off. Amen. So on the day, they were to come and to compass the city seven times. On the seventh time, the priests were to blow the trumpets of jubilee, and the priests were to shout, God has given you the city. Shout, for God has given you the city. Shout, for God has given you the city. In Joshua 6:20, so the people began to march around the wall, following that in obedience, because to the natural mind, when God tells you to do something in the spirit, it sounds crazy lots of times. God, that doesn't make sense. Just do it. Just do it. Come on, somebody. Didn't make sense to put a lantern in a picture and bust it either, did it? God knows how to defeat the enemy. He knows how to confound and confuse the enemy. Come on, somebody. See, God doesn't have the brightest and doesn't have to have the brightest and the best. He just has to have the obedient and the willing. He says, anybody that's willing and obedient, said, you come and get on the front row, because I'm getting ready to reveal my glory to you. He said, I'm just looking for somebody that'll get up and say, I'll go, Jesus, send me. Come on. So it happened that when they got out and they walked around that wall, now get this, that mighty fortress of a place, and they went out each day. I can imagine in my mind, I'm just looking at those Jerichoans as they're watching. They're probably looking out over the wall and said, I ain't never seen anybody that dumb. These people are crazy. Listen, they just walking around the wall. What are they doing? It's crazy. God said, you shut up. Don't you say a thing, because if it comes out your mouth, you're going to be full of unbelief. If you say anything, it's going to be something crazy. And I'd rather for you to be silent. So they're waiting. And they're marching. Are you listening to me? And they're not speaking. And on that seventh day when they marched around that wall, I imagine they were saying, man, my dogs are yelling. My feet. And on that seventh time when they marched around that wall, I don't know, it sounded like, you know, when you know God's getting ready to do something, you feel it in the atmosphere. The Holy Ghost is moving. It's like you could see the glory of God just hanging in a cloud. And you're in such an expectancy because you know that God is ready to break forth in some kind of flood and do something that you've never seen before. I can feel the anticipation. Your heart is pounding on the inside of you as they're on that final trip and they're coming around there and they get to that place and the priest cries, shout! For God has given you the city. See, that's what happens. See, that pinned up spirit on the inside of them that have been holding back now for 7 days. When ghost priests told them to shout, and that shout roared out of them. Oh, my God, are you listening to me this morning? I wonder what would happen if we that are oppressed and beaten down and depressed and have been held down and covered up and suffocating by the enemy would just suck some air in and shout with a voice of triumph and shout with a voice of praise. I wonder what kind of a release that we would have in our spirit, man. Come on, somebody. I wonder what would happen in us if we would just defy the flesh and shout to God. Come on, somebody. I dare you to get up on your feet right now and shout unto the Lord. Come on. I dare you to get up and act like you know him. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Shout! God has given us the city. He's given us the city. Come on, somebody. America, shout! God has given us Patrick County. Shout! God has given us the region. Shout! God has given us our children. Shout! God has given you your marriage. Come on, somebody. God has. God has. God has. Hey, Kashira Mondo Ramanda. Yay! Ha ha ha. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time to get yourself stirred up, honey. It's time to reach deep down inside of you. It's time to let the lion loose. It's time to let the lion roar. It's time to let the lion speak. It's time to be God's voice and God's vessel. It's time to part the waters and back them up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. My God. Shout. Shout. See, the devil has taken some of us and taken our shout from us. Like the children of Israel who were in captivity, who hung their harps on the willow trees. and they asked them to sing a song, and they said, we can't sing a song in this Babylonian land. I want to tell you, that's the time to shout. Paul and Silas didn't sing praises to God and at midnight in the middle of a cathedral. They sang praises to God in the middle of a prison, and God sent revival. Come on, somebody. Jesus did not go to a banquet and a barbecue when his friend Lazarus was dead. He went to the graveyard where he'd been laid 4 days and he was stinking. Come on, somebody. And the voice of Jesus did what? Shouted out. He shouted out, Lazarus, come out of that grave. This morning, I tell you what, I dare you to run to the altar. Whatever you want from God this morning, I believe it's here. If you'll come with your hands raised and let him fill up your vessel today. Come on, let him fill up your vessel. Say, bless God, I'm not being held back anymore. Bless God, I'm not going to stop short of a miracle. Bless God, I'm not going to hold my praise back or my shout back. I am not. I'm going in the name of Jesus. I'm going to use my gifts and anointing and talents for God now, not next week. Doc, next year. Come on, right now, right now, right now, right now. Hey, come on. Come on, shout unto God. Shout. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God. My God. Patrick and Jessica.